Thank you, Lord.
Why should I feel discouraged? And why should the shadows fall? Why would my heart feel lonely and long for heaven and home when Jesus is my portion? A constant friend is he. His eyes are on the sparrow, and I know he watches over me. Don't you know I sing because I'm happy? Don't you know I sing because I'm free? God made me free, for his eyes are on the sparrow, and I know he watches over me.
That's a prayer I wanted to start with. Because I know that I am who I am because he is who he is in me. I wouldn't trade him for anything. My brother is, you know, he was the same way. We was raised in a, there's 12 of us children. And my mom and dad, my dad was a pastor. My mom was a youth pastor. And they both have gone on to be with the Lord, so I know he's with them. But it's been a journey, so I say that. But I want to start off with a thought about going back about 3 or 4 months ago when we had all gotten our theme. Mine is an assurance of God's present love, the sound of the assurance of God's present love. So we went back, and we have a leadership. We have went through a lot of stuff in our church. God has taught us how to love each other more, and it's very obvious that we do, and pulled us together. But as a leadership, we sat down one day, and our apostolic covering came down to visit us, which was about 3 of them, and they asked us a question. It's 8 of us, which I thought was a very significant number, new beginning. And they asked us, did we know what our weaknesses was as a ministry individually, and what was our strengths? And as we all sat there pondering on that question that they asked us, they went around the table and they was asking everybody. And when they got to me and asked me what was my strengths, I was trying to think of how to put it, you know. Oh, what was my giftings is what they asked. What are your giftings? And so I sat there and was trying to think of what to say. And one of our apostolic coverings, which is Mary Glazer, she said, let me answer that question. She said the reason why she can't answer is because she has too many. And to try to figure out which one is still stronger than the other is very hard. And that's with all of us. Because all the gifts are promised to all of us. And if we don't move in them, it's because we don't move in them, not because God hasn't given them to us. So when she said that, she said, so how about we go around the table and talking about seeing God's present love. And my ministry that was around us, all the pastors that was there, started to speak of my life to me while I was sitting there. And it was overwhelming. I did not know that they felt that way. Because how often do you sit around and talk about each other? You don't do that very often. But it was very, very significant. But when they got to the part where it says, what is your weaknesses? And I could answer that. And one of my weaknesses was, not anymore, is that I felt like I didn't fit in. I know that's probably surprising. But the leadership that we had there, I felt like I fit in with several of them there. But the women, and Debbie and Lisa and some of them know how I was with women. When I was with a glow, that's why I didn't want to be in the glow, because of the women. So I always felt like I was on the outside of them. You know, like I could never get in the inner circle where I was one with them. And so I hesitated by sharing that because I didn't want them to feel bad, because I really didn't feel like it was just something they were doing. I just felt like I didn't know how to get in that circle with them. And I tried, and I could not. And so I shared that with them, and I said, that's how I used to feel. But since then, God has so worked on my heart and reminded me that when I was very young, a prophecy was shared over me. And the apostle that came to our town started prophesying, and it was the first time anybody had ever prophesied over me. I think I was about 15. And he had this really, really loud voice, and he just started walking toward me, and it scared me to death because he kept coming. And I kept backing up like this, and he just kept coming. And he backed me up in the corner, and he kept, all while he was walking toward me, he kept saying, God's going to back you up, God's going to back you up, God's going to back you up, God's going to back you up. And I'm like, oh, my God, you know. And so he kept saying, and he said, until you realize that he is never going to give you an opportunity to become one with the flesh of his people, but he's going to teach you how to be one with their spirit. And all of a sudden, I remembered that prophecy after all these years, you know. And so what I was trying to fit in was not where God wanted me to do. He wanted me to learn how to love them where he had them and not try to love them where they thought they were or where I thought they were. So I shared that with them. And as I shared that with them, of course, some of them started crying. Oh, my God, we made you feel like that. I'm like, no. I said, it started from, I have 12 siblings. I've told my kids this before. And my first older siblings used to tell me I was adopted. Because I'm dark now. This is dark for me. I used to be very, lot more fair-skinned. And as I got older, I got darker. Well, I happened to take after my mom's side of the family. And they all took after my dad's side of the family. So they used to all get me in the mirror and put me in the middle and say, look at you and look at us. And it was like, you're all high yellow. That's what they used to tell me. And we're all nice and cocoa brown. And you don't look like us at all. Look at you. And then, you know, and then I had a gifting that I didn't understand. So I made sure my son that moves in that gifting understood his. I used to see things all the time. I just didn't know what it was. I didn't know why I could see things. I didn't know why I could hear things that people couldn't hear. They thought I was being scary, and it wasn't that. They just couldn't see what I was seeing. And I didn't know how to say, you know, I would say, I don't want to go in that room because something's in there. And they was like, oh, you're so scary. We told you you're adopted. You know, mom found you on the doorstep. And Oddly enough, as a kid, you don't think that bruised you, but it does. And so when God started showing me from where it came from, I went through a cleansing with, in Anchorage, Well Springs. And all that stuff started coming up, and all of a sudden I realized it was still there. I didn't know it was there. I thought it was gone. And when I was able to face it, face on, I was able to get rid of it. But I did not know that's what it was. So that's where it all started. Well, then after that, time went on, and I'm studying this word that Nancy gave us. And as you all know, when you ponder over it, and I'm like, what is she looking for in this word? Oh, my God. I don't even know where to go with this. And you're trying to think of what scriptures you can grab, what this you can grab, where you can go and pull this, and it wasn't happening that way. In the midst of it, I started to feel like this heaviness just went whoosh. You could feel it in the room. It wasn't depression, but it was like a heaviness in the spirit, and I kept thinking, Lord, what is this? What is this that I'm feeling? And so I went to a worship service, and as I got into the worship service, standing on the stage, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you are not going through withdrawals. You are not going through depression. You are feeling the end of an era and the beginning of a new one. And so we are stepping into this new sound. It is a beginning of something we have not did before. The love that we are going to see is going to be far beyond anything we have experienced before as a people. Because it is not going to matter if I've known you for 10 years or 10 minutes. I am going to so relate to you in love that it's going to blow my mind. It's going to blow your mind. And you don't even know why. All you know is that we are one. That's all you know. We're one. And this is a walk that we can't do without the Father. He's not going to let us do it in ourselves. He's not going to let us conjure it up. If we don't lean on him, we won't make it. We will not make it through this error. Because this is a no-nonsense error. This is an error that God is saying, I am going to teach you all about my present love. My present love that has no strings attached. You can't attach anything to it. You can't come in here with a mask. All masks are being ripped off. You can't have those anymore. And if you even try, you're going to find yourself on the outside of the door asking for oil. Because your oil will not be filled up. You're going to have to come in stripped and ready to be reclothed. That's what this era is bringing us into, this present love. I had a dream, and I was telling the ladies about it at when they picked me up from the airport. And in this dream, and this is all prior to everything that's had happened to me with my brother. In this dream, I was at a wedding. And it was the most beautiful wedding, but I could see none of the people. And, you know, I knew it was people there. I knew they were godly people, but I could not see their faces and say, oh, so-and-so was there, or so-and-so was there. I knew I was not the bride, but I was a participant in the wedding. And as I was watching on to the wedding, I was thinking in the dream, I was going, wow, this is the most extraordinary wedding I've ever been to. And then all of a sudden, I heard the Holy Spirit say in the dream, everyone that attend this wedding are going to walk through a season of no pain. They're going to walk through a season of no suffering. When they grab a hold to what I'm doing, they're going to so go beyond where they are, they're not going to know the pain in the intensity like they have in the past, because it's going to be my air that's moving in. And so as I laid in my bed, because I have had back problems, I laid in my bed, all of a sudden, in the natural, I had no pain. And I was laying in the bed, and I was like, my eyes was closed, and my husband was trying to get my attention. I'm like, don't mess with me. I'm not moving. Mm-mm. I'm not coming out this place. And if I talk, in my mind, I was going, if I talk to you, I'm going to feel pain again. I'm not talking to you. I'm going to stay right here in this place. This is a good place. And I felt like if I opened my eyes, I would come out the dream. And if I came out the dream, I would feel pain. And I didn't want to feel pain. So I laid there in the bed, and my sister called, which hadn't called me in a while. And I talked to her, and I wouldn't open my eyes. And Lewis goes, what are you doing? I was like, shh, I'm listening to her. He goes, why are your eyes closed? Shh, I don't want to come out of my dream yet. You know, and he was like, okay. Is that one of those prophetic things? Na, 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 na. You know, that you're going through. And I was like, no, I just, you know. So anyway, I got up, went in town, went to Benjamin's house and got my granddaughter. She's my buddy that I travel with in town. And her and I went to town. We came back. And as we sat down at the table, I opened a book that we had gotten from a conference. A reunion prior to the time that last year we had a big reunion with just my immediate family. My brother Sherman that passed away actually hosted it in Las Vegas. And it was the most extraordinary reunion we had ever had. There was so much healing. Everybody showed up. There was so much healing going on, so much repenting, so much bringing into a oneness that when we left there, we were so one, nothing could have got in between us as sisters, as siblings. And it's 12 of us, you know, and they are like my sisters and brothers, they are, you know, prophets and they're pastors and they're evangelists, and which is amazing even in itself to have 12 kids, very accomplished kids. All my mom and dad was not rich, and every last one of us have a degree in something. And so my dad and mom always told us, reach further than you think you can reach, and then reach even further than that to grab a hold of what you want. And so we all had went home like this. So I was looking through the book, and I actually turned to the page where my brother Sherman was. And my granddaughter and I was looking at him, and she said, Grandma, y'all look like twins. And I was like, yeah, he used to lie to all his girlfriends when we were coming up, saying we were the same age. He's like 10 years older than me. And they believed him. And I always wondered why they always treated me like I was a kid, because I'd be their age, and they'd be, and he's 10 years older than me. But he would tell them he was my age so he could date them. And so so we were laughing about it, and then we got this phone call. And we got this phone call, and it was my older brother saying that we needed to pray because they couldn't find a pulse in my brother's body. So we started to pray. And as we started to pray, I got on the phone. And in our church at home, we've been doing this thing called blessings. I wish I had brought a paper so you could see it. It's the most phenomenal thing we've ever did as a church. We started off with five of us. And what we did is every morning when we get up, we text each other a protection prayer. So you get a partner. So it would be like if Patty and I was partners, I would text Patty a protection prayer. And then she would text me one back, and then I would send her a blessing, and she would send me a blessing back. And you did it twice a day. And we started doing that, and the lives in our church start changing. And so we spread it out from the five people, and we spread it out to our church. So now our whole church is doing this blessing thing. So now we've did the 40, for 40 days you do this, and all you speak is blessings. All you speak is blessings. So a protection and a blessing over that particular person that you're praying for. So now we've gone farther, and we're doing it for our community. So each one of us picked a business in our community, And we make it our business to go to that place and pray a protection over it. And then say a blessing over those people. And when we see them in town, we bless them. We just bless them. We've been doing this. So it has made our church come very, very close. And it's spilling out in our community. And so people are starting to come, to our church more than ever before. And they're young people. That's what I really love. And they're just coming. And so anyway, I called the pastors in our church and I said, telling them what happened. I need y'all to pray, he said. So as I was sitting at home, I tell you what, it was amazing to hear all of a sudden my one of the guys in our church called me. And he said, Evelyn, I want to give you some miles. He goes, is Lewis going to this, to your brother's, down there where your brother is? You need to get down there. I'm like, I don't know if he's going. This is our short time of year. We have a trucking business, and you know how you have down seasons? Well, this is our down season. So I was like, I'm not even sure if we're going to even do that. And so he was like, I feel to give you some miles. Next thing I know, my phone just started blowing up. Everybody from my church was calling me. What do you need? I got miles. If they didn't have miles, I got money. What do you need? What do you need, Evelyn? And so they started doing that. And then one of the pastors came to us and he said, called back and he said, God told me you have no business handling this. So we're going to take over your travel plans. And we're going to plan. We're going to make your plane reservations. Do you want a car? Does Lewis want a car? We'll get him a rental car. Whatever you want, that's what we're going to do. And I sat on my bed and I started to weep. Remember, I have this word on God present love, the sound of it. And all of a sudden he calls me back and he says, God changed his mind. I said, he did? He said, yeah. He told me, put the miles apart and buy the ticket. So he said, and not just for you, but Lewis needs to go with you. So he paid for our ticket, round trip out and out. And I sat there on the bed and I started to cry. And I was like, I don't know what to say to you. He said, this is what I need you to say to me. Repeat after me. I said, okay. He said, Tony. I went, Tony, he goes, Lewis and I will always love you. And so I said, Lewis and I will always love you. He goes, that's all I require. Because to have your love is more than anything else you could say. And I was just stunned. I don't even know what else to put. So then he calls him back again. He says, in the meantime, I get a hold of Debbie, which I am so bad. They'll tell you I'm usually bad at calling them, telling them what's going on in my life. They get on me all the time. So I'm trying to get better at that. And not that I think I can handle everything. It's just, I don't know. I guess I do think I can handle everything, huh? And so I called Debbie and them. And I knew Nancy, I don't like, and they know, I don't like calling her when I know she's in the field. Just like I don't like calling Lewis when I know he's in the semi. Because I feel like I know how much they love me, and they need to concentrate where they are. And I don't want to be the distraction, you know what I'm saying? So if I think I can handle it, then I don't call. But see, all of them is not in the field, that's why they get me. And the rest of them could be praying, so. I called them and told them what was going on, and I called my children, and my sons came to me and said, they just, all went to praying on their own and dealing with it in their own way. But then I got another call back, and it says to me, Evelyn, aren't you supposed to go to conference? Yeah. said, well, are you going to conference? It wasn't them. It was somebody at my church. And I said, I don't know if I'm strong enough to handle it. See, I'm not under any deception to think I got this strength all on my own. I know I don't. I know that if God didn't empower me, I could not be standing up here. I know I was going through a tearing inside of me because the responsibility of being down here, and it's not because of pressure, it's just something we do. Just something we do. But the responsibility to my family, I also wanted to do. So I was very torn, and I said, I don't know what I'm going to do. And they said, well, I got a word for you. I said, okay. They said, when you get down to Las Vegas and you do what I know that you need to do, Nancy's going to call you in 2 days. And if Nancy calls you, you get on the plane and go to conference. If Nancy doesn't call you, then you stay in Las Vegas. But I know Nancy's going to call you. This is what they said to me. And they said, because I don't want to tell you what to do, but let's just say I got it from higher up. She's going to call you. I said, okay. So in about 2 days, Nancy calls me on the phone. And she was in a meeting when I first tried to get a hold of her, and I couldn't. And so I was like, I canceled my ticket to come here. Have no ticket. And I canceled everything, and I said, she called me, and she did not pressure me. She just, you know, comforted me on the phone. And she just told me, you know, what I needed to hear. And then she said, but I know that you're not going down there to do what you think you're going to do. You're going down there because they need you to be the arrowhead. Well, I'm not the oldest. Now, I'm the sixth child in the family. I have older siblings that are very powerful in God, I think, more than me, seemed like, I thought. And so I was figuring, oh, they're going to handle it. They're going to do it. Well, my sister-in-law called, and she said, we're going to cremate your brother. And all of us was not happy with that, but anyway. It's because we're silly. We know he weren't in the body, but it's just, we just wanted to say goodbye before she did that. So she said, if you get down here this weekend, you could all see him. I will hold him until this weekend, and then we'll have him cremated. So we all was getting on the plane, getting down there to do that. And I told Nancy that's what we were doing. So we get down there, and we're going to do that. Before he's cremated, we're going to head down there. So we all get on the plane, and I head down there, and I'm thinking about everything she said. Well, in the meantime, before I got on the plane, actually, the Lord spoke to me and said, Evelyn, called the airport, and you say this. You said, I prematurely canceled my ticket. My brother just died. My thinking is not right. What can you do to help me? I was like, they are not going to listen to me. I don't even know if they Christian, half of them people. It's Delta Airlines, you know. So he was like, Evelyn, get on the phone and call it. I've made a provision. So I get on the phone, and I called Delta Airlines. I felt very stupid. I'm glad they couldn't see me. And I said, I prematurely canceled my ticket. I told them everything that happened. And I said, so I wasn't thinking that if I go to Georgia, I need to get back home. So what can you do to help me? He said, what do you want? And I was like, what? He was like, what do you want, Evelyn? He said, can I call you Evelyn? I said, yes. He said, what do you want? I said, I need to get home. He said, what is your final destination? I said, Augusta. He said, so you need to get back home from Augusta back to Fairbanks. And I said, yes. He said, they usually charge like $300, anywhere from $600 to $300 for that ticket because you canceled it. I said, okay. He says, but it's at my discretion. So let me work on this ticket for you. And so he gets off the phone. He comes back on the phone. He says, okay. So instead of you flying out of Atlanta, you can't do that. I know you wanted to hook up with your son. He said, but you can't because that seat's gone. And there's no more seats on that flight. So how about I fly you out of Augusta back to Fairbanks for $197? And I was like, you know, and I have this credit, so that would take care of the ticket. And I'm like, is there a tax that you're going to add on to that? And he goes, no, that's with taxes. Okay, yeah, that'll work. He said, now, the only thing you have to leave out at 7 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, that'll work. I can do that. And he said, that'll put you back a lot earlier than 11 o'clock at night. Yeah, I will. And I'm talking to him on the phone, and he goes, Evelyn, I said, what? He said, I'm so sorry for your loss. He said, be blessed. I don't know if he was a Christian or not. That's all I know he said to me on the phone. But it was still another example of God showing me how much he loved me. You know, you feel like you're this speck on the wall that, you know, God couldn't possibly be concerned with all your little stuff that you have to do. But God loves me right now where I am so much that he moved the airline to get me down here. Okay? So when it says that when I was reading my workshop over again, because I hadn't looked back at it. You know how so many stuff was going on. I said, oh, where's my papers for the workshop? I need to get that ready. And, oh, my gosh, she's not going to take. I can't know because I've had this a long time. I gotta make sure I got all my stuff ducks in a row. So I go get my looking for my paper, and I look down at it, and I'm like, and I just burst into tears, and I was like, are you kidding me, God? The name of my workshop is what? And it's the sound of God's assurance in his present love. I said, this couldn't be more of a layout for this workshop if I had planned it myself. And everybody, I mean, they have been texting me, my sisters. Then when I get down there, they was like, I want to go to your church because those people love you. I cannot believe they did this for you. And I was like, but God needed to let me see that. So I don't know how many pastors is in this room, but you're the last one to see that sometime in your people. I mean, you pour out and you pour out and you pour out, and you know they love you, but they all the time can't show you in that way. I mean, they show you in other ways. But sometimes all you hear is what you did wrong and how you didn't support and you should have came to their aid and this or that or the other. And you just keep loving because you know they're either going through something or something's going on and whatever. But, oh, my God, it's like God just opened up the veil and said, I'm going to show you what this new era is bringing. This is a love that you have not experienced, Evelyn. And I'm going to show you what it's all about. Because you know what? They don't love you because of what you do, Evelyn. They don't love you because of what you say, Evelyn. They don't love you because of the position you hold in the church, Evelyn. They love you because you're Evelyn. That's why they love you and Lewis. Because of who you are. Not for what you can do to them. Because when they was down, you were there. And now you're going to have to learn in this era
how to receive more. Because this is not just a giving error. This is a giving and receiving error. A lot of us, God has wanted to show us what his love was, but we've been so wrapped up in our pain and our suffering, in our yesterdays and in our hurts, that we can't accept the love that God has in front of us because it doesn't seem real. We know it's got to be another door getting ready to open or the other shoe's going to fall, okay? And we're just waiting for it to fall. What we don't know is our thoughts are powerful. So if you're waiting for the shoe to fall, the shoe is going to fall because our thoughts are powerful. We are spirit people. We are powerful people. We are people that when we speak, things happen. So if we think this about ourselves, that's what ourselves are going to get. This new era, you can't allow your mind to tell your body what you need to be thinking. You can't. In everything, he says, acknowledge me. Have we? No. I haven't. This is all new to me, too. There are some people walking in the Lord that think nobody can teach them nothing else. They got it all together and they've learned everything. And they don't need to be in the school of teaching. And they really don't need to go on an evangelist trip because they know all about how to evangelize. Well, I tell you what, I hope God doesn't ever stop teaching me. I want to learn everything he has for me to learn because I don't have it all. I get a little bit from Patty, a little bit from Debbie, a little bit from that Debbie, a little bit from my son Benjamin, a little bit from my husband, a little bit from my little kids. I work with all the teenagers sometime in the church. I love working with the kids. Every last one of them brings something that completes me. And that's what we all got to get to. Let people complete you. You are not complete and you're not an island all in yourself. And if you want to see God's love, this is how you have to receive it. In Romans 8:36, it says, that we are victorious. It says, know that all these things, we are more than conquerors. Not just conquerors, more than conquerors. We cannot go wimpy anymore. We're not a wimpy people. We can't say, oh, I'm a babe in the Lord. There is, come on, what did he say? And a little child shall leave you. So that excuse goes out the window. So if you thought you was a babe, hello, God say you hear better than the old people. Because you're young, he can put fresh stuff in you. Where sometimes you're old, he's got to pull back stuff out of you to put the fresh stuff in you. So there is no excuse there. So no matter where you're walking in the Lord, whether you're in the beginning or you're at the end, God is requiring you to change. The word we don't like, but we have to do. We have to change. So I was looking up that word, conqueror, to defeat or subdue by force. We're more than conquerors. To gain or to secure control of or by force using the arms. To become physically, mentally, or morally a force to be reckoned with. Yes, more than conquerors. That's who we are. We're more than conquerors. Sometimes we need to step back and go look in the mirror and say, Evelyn, hi. Do you know who you are? You are more than a conqueror.
I know you don't like it because you want to lose more weight. But you're more than a conqueror anyway. I know you messed up yesterday, but you're still more than a conqueror. Why? Because he says you are. And he is the head man in charge. And you can't go against what he says. You want his new love? Be more than a conqueror. Be more than a conqueror, because you got to conquer all the hurts in you in order to come into the love. And it's hard. It's hard. Some hurts are so deep, and we've been holding on so long, it's hard to conquer them. The sound of God's assurance. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Where is his son at? In here. See, Jesus died, and he was our elder brother, and he gave his only begotten son. We are his only begotten son walking around physically on the earth. And there's a whole world out there waiting to see what we're going to do with what we got. That's so tired of seeing flippity-floppity Christians. They're so tired of you saying, oh, well, if it's rap, it's the devil. If it's this, it's the devil. Well, my Bible tells me God didn't make anything bad. People make it bad, but God didn't make any junk. God told me, when he prophesied over me the first time when I ever started singing, that no matter what I sung, he will make himself known in it. Whether it was rap or country or whatever it was. So I was on a ship with my family. And they said, we got to do karaoke. I said, I haven't did karaoke in years. I don't even know if I know how to do karaoke. Well, you have to stand up because, oddly enough, everybody think that because you black, you can sing. And there are some black people in there that's messing up the whole race. So you got to come here and sing a song so you can redeem us. Because people don't get that. They just don't get that. They think color makes you have a voice. No. So I'm like, okay, well, we'll go in there. So we all went in the room, and I looked on the list, and you know how long it's been since I looked at secular song? Long time. The only thing I remember was Gladys Knight, Midnight Train to Georgia. So I was like, well, all right then. I'll just sing to my baby. So I just focused on Lewis, and I started singing, L.A. grew too much for the man. And I started singing to him, changing it, following the little ball. And I started singing it, and I get to the part, going aboard. Then these ladies stood up and all, got aboard. They start singing. They start singing background for me. I was like, okay, I got this. Okay, let me keep going. And I looked at him, and I was like, I got this. But I sang it like, you know, church, because that's how I sing. I mean, it's been a long time since I sang worldly. So I was like, oh, yeah, going aboard the midnight train to Georgia, going aboard. I'm just all into it, just like I would sit up here and lead worship. I got done singing, and the guy that was doing the karaoke, he was doing this. And he walked over to Lewis, and he said, can I hug your wife? And Lewis said, from a distance. Yeah. Keep your distance. And he said, he gets on the mic, he said, I honest to God, I think I just had a religious experience with Midnight Train to Georgia. I don't know what happened to me. You know? And we just we sat there, and I was like, oh my God. They start sending out requests, and I was like, I don't know those songs. But we sat there and we did all that. And I'm like, oh my gosh. But I'm telling you, God sent us out to show what he has in us. We got to get out of the box. If we're going to reach a world out of there, I'm not saying go out there and sin. I'm just saying go out there and be Jesus. Jesus ate with the tax collectors. We won't even go in the room with somebody that we think is unfit. That's not who we are. So why would I go in the room with all these people that love Jesus already and preach to them? And they're yawning because they heard everything I'm saying. And here's all these people that don't know anybody, and I'm like, I know Jesus. How y'all doing? And the first mean face I get, I'm ready to cut tail and run. You know what made me want God? My sister Barbara and Belita, my brother-in-law Curtis, they were teenagers when I was a kid. They made Christianity look like so much fun that I could not help, couldn't wait to be a Christian. They would sing and they would party and they would have fun. And they didn't, back then it was really strict. You remember when they couldn't go to the show? Oh, they wouldn't dare wear shirts like this. They had to wear long sleeve shirts and no pants, had to wear dresses down to their ankles almost and stuff, you know. And they had fun. They loved God. Sometimes I wonder if we forgot how to do that. Well, in this new era God's bringing us into, I'm telling you, you go on a ministry trip with Nancy, and your comfort zone goes out the window. Because when she says move and do something, you better be in gear. You don't say, well, that's a little bit out of my character. Well, next time you'll be at home. And not because she throwed you out, because God throw you out. He ain't going to let you stop his boat. He's not going to let you do it. You know, I'm telling you, go over in India, where those people just come around you like crazy. Really, really they do. And she tell you, stay two together. Okay. And then here's this lady acting like a monkey. And Nancy's way over there, and you're right here, and you're going. Nancy! And she's over there, sha-la-la, and over there, and you're like, oh, my God. I hope it stay in her, because I don't want to be a monkey, you know? And then she comes over there, and she's little than all of us, and the first thing she does is straddle her. And you're like, okay, that means we got to get close. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's out of your comfort zone, let me tell you. But I tell you what, you will never be the same. Never be the same. Or you go over to Bethel, where they have all these little tribes of people that you've never been. And she takes you and drop you off on the corner by yourself with another person. And you're so far apart, you can't call the other two. And she said, talk to people to come to church. And you're like, really? And you go up to somebody and you're like, hi, we're having service tonight. And it was like, so? Okay. And the other one going, I'm going to tell Nancy, you better go over there and talk to that person. You go back over here. I didn't really mean no harm, but if you want to come tonight, we're having a meeting over here. So why don't you come? Or somebody says, go in the store. Well, could you go in the store and buy me something? Sure. I need some lighter fluid. Oh, sure. You go in the store and you can't find the lighter fluid because they're hiding it because these people get high off of it. Well, you're dense. You don't know that. So you go in the store and you are buying the lighter fluid. Thank God she showed up. And Nancy walks up, what are you doing? Well, that guy out there wanted us to buy some stuff. What are you doing? I told you to talk to him about coming to church. And the lady behind the counter goes, it's okay, honey. I know you didn't know that. I know you didn't know that. But they sniff it. And I was like, they sniff it? Now, out of your comfort zone. Out of your comfort zone. That's what God is calling for. That's what God is calling us for in this new era. See, we've had all these people that went and paved the way. Paved the way. Why they want to take her out? Because she's paving the way. The God in her. And I tell you what, I love that I'm who I am now. I have a holy boldness that I would never have had I never went on any of those trips. But it doesn't matter to me. I forget that I'm not even their same color. I'll go in a room with a bunch of, you know, they call them rednecks. I had to find out what that meant. I didn't even know what that meant. Anyway, and they would tell me that, and I said, why do they call, do you have rednecks? Why do they call them that? And they was like, no, but they're separate from us. And so, of course, I'm not going to think they're white because this white person telling me that they are rednecks. So I'm like, so how do you know the difference? I mean, is there something special I should know about this? Oh, Evelyn, you're so young. Okay. I don't know all those phrases. I wasn't raised like that, so I didn't know. So I'm telling you, but you learn. And you learn to come out of the box. And now you're finding out all this stuff that God's been putting in you is for now. It's for now. It's so when you see the person that's unlovely, you don't hesitate. You put your arms around them. I meet people for the first time, and I was like, oh, how you doing? Oh, how you doing? And they'll go, I was like, you know what? I'm a hugger. And I'll just go up to them and hug them, and they'd just be grinning all over the place. And they, some of them will say, I've never had anybody touch me. I've never had anybody show me love. Now we go to the store in town, and people come up to you and say, hey, you know what? I got a bad report. And I was wondering, would you pray to your God? I said, well, he's your God, too. But we can pray together over in the vegetables. See, I used to only hear about that when I used to be with her, and I'm like, yeah, right. I'm going to be in a vegetable and somebody going to come to me? I don't know. But they do. They do come to you. And they ask you for that. So why? Because we are not the same that we used to be. Aren't you tired of being that? It's just like, God, is this all there is? I don't know if you've asked God that lately, but I have. I'd walk through my living room and I'm going, is this all there is? Is this it? Or is there more? And the Holy Spirit said, do you want more? And I say, I want more. Will you pay the price? I'll pay the price. It's going to cost you your life. Literally, it's going to cost you your life. Because when you come to this new era, you got to know that really, your life is not your own. That's why I'm here. If my life was my own, honestly speaking, I would be where Lewis is. Because that's where my flesh tells me I can get the most comfort. Crawled up in his arms. They said, what is your weakness? And he said, something God's working on, but I'll tell you what it is. And so they said, well, what is it? He said, Evelyn. And at first I went, I'm your weakness? He said, you don't get it. They can do whatever they want to me, but they don't hurt Evelyn. When they come against Evelyn, then I really do have to go to the Father. because the forgiveness don't come that fast. Because my wife don't do that. So I was put here as her protector. I take it seriously. She is my rib. He said, and then God came to me and said, Lewis, that's my job. You cover, I protect. You are to cover her, but you let me protect her. Because I can do more for her, and I loved her long before you ever did. He says, so God's working on me. But you asked me what was my weakness, and that's what it is. And all the women in the room go, oh. And I was like, ooh, that's a good thing. Yeah. He loves him some Evelyn. Yeah. So, but yes, there is a new way that God is teaching us how to walk. We can't walk like we walked yesterday. Like I said, we can't talk like we talked yesterday. So as I was on the computer, I looked up assurance. I said right? Yeah. And it says a statement of indication that inspires confidence. God's insurance love right now for this present love is to let you know that it inspires confidence in you to know that when you grab a hold to God's presence love, it's a love that won't let you go. It won't let you go, won't leave you out of it. It said freedom from doubt. You won't doubt. A certainty. You move in a certainty. Self-confidence. You're moving self-confidence. If you grab a hold to this present love that God is issuing you out, issuing us out, these things will follow. I want to play you a song real quick before I finish this other part. It's called In the Wait. It's by Vicky. Thank you. Who said that? Thank you. It is the song that convinced me that I was supposed to go to the town here. Wait. This song, I want you to listen to the words, because this doesn't just talk about someone dying. It's more than that. Go ahead, that's fine. Listen to the words.
In the peace that only
of a sudden, I was sitting at my kitchen table, and I knew that my older brother called, my oldest brother, this was my second to the oldest brother that passed away. My older brother called, and the Lord had given me a scripture, and I gave him four things. One was, I heard a scripture from the Lord, but I didn't know. You know how when you walk into a place like this, you're not sure that if you're really hearing from the God or you're being religious or whatever. You question everything that you think. So I had heard this scripture, and I was like, I'm not going to tell anybody, but I need three other people to call me with this scripture. And I, you know, and so, and I, the other one was Nancy called me back in 2 days. The other one was my plane fare being taken care of all the way through. And I needed my family to know I wasn't just running out on them. I needed that, to know that in my heart. And so my older brother called, and he said, Evelyn, he said, I'm calling you because I know you're supposed to go minister. Because we always keep in touch with each other. And when I go minister, I usually call them, and they support me, and they pray for me while I'm ministering. And they all have no point to hope. My brother Reuben knows these guys very well, so he prays for them a lot. He said, I want to tell you that all your life and all Lewis' life, everything you have and everything you do has been on God. God has given you everything you got, and you've always obeyed him. Don't let Sherman's death stop you from doing what God wants you to do. He said, I heard this scripture. He said, this is a scripture I heard. It was a scripture when Jesus was talking to the brother, the man that had a brother, and his brother died. And he wanted to stay there with his brother. And Jesus told him, let the dead bury the dead, and you go minister my word. And that's the scripture I had heard. And so I started crying and foaming. I said, I'm torn. Why are you torn? This is not a time to be torn. This is a time to be about God's business. If Sherman was here, Sherman would tell you, be about God's business. You don't have the option to do your own will. You gave that up when you said, I do, in front of God. So now you need to gear yourself up. If you need to cry, then women can, they can shelter you. Get yourself down there where they are and do what you need to do. And then my sister called, Regina, and she said, I heard this scripture, but I don't really want, she's my baby sister. I don't really want to tell you because it really sounds kind of selfish, and I'm just going to tell you really fast, and I'm hanging up the phone. But you know that scripture that says, let the dead bury the dead. Okay, that's all I hear. Bye. And she hangs up. And she hangs up the phone, and I'm like, why did she hang up? She was like, because it sounds a little harsh, and I didn't, you know, want you to think I was being harsh. And then my other brother, sibling called, and they said the same thing. So I went. We had the memorial service. Well, we went down there to have the memorial service. We got in there, and everybody was crying. My brother is not a crier, okay? I mean, he's not a funeral person, the one that died. He doesn't like funerals, never has liked funerals, because he has grabbed a hold to that word that that's just the vessel. The spirit is with God. So I walked in the room, and they were all crying. I walked out of the room and stood in the hall, and here's all my other 10 siblings out in the hallway. And finally, I says, I can't do this. I can't walk away. Well, Nancy had given me a word that I had come down there and I was going to be the spearhead. And I had actually forgotten, you know, how you forget about the word, she said. And so I said, I can't do this. So I walked back in the room and I said, no disrespect to my sister-in-law, because I wanted her to be honored, because it's her husband of 36 years. It may be my brother, but it's her husband. I said, but I'm leaving. And I have to have a proper memorial service for me, for my brother. And it's five of us leaving, and we need to do something that my brother liked for us to do. So with your permission, I'm going to have church. And she and my brother goes, well, it's about time. I was wondering what you was waiting for. We all standing in the hall go, why is she saying something? She knows she the mouth of the family. And I'm like, really? Lita is out there in the hall. She's the oldest. And it was like, yeah, but you're the one that's supposed to go in there and be bold. So we all get in there. We form this big circle. And we all, as a family, we all can sing. And we all start singing. My brother's written millions of songs, lots of songs. We start singing these three favorite songs of his. And so we sang the two, and then we looked at his wife, and we said, Scent, because she can sing also, we need you to lead out that third song. And she was like, really, guys? And we say, yeah. So she stands up, and my brother's name is Sherman. She goes, Sherman, I'm looking really good. You would like me standing up here. I look really good today. So I'm going to sing this song to you. And if I break up, I don't want to hear, sit, don't break up. Just listen. And she opened her mouth and she started to sing. And all the tears was just like, everybody was crying, but they were singing. And she started singing this song, and we all just started backgrounding, you know, and just singing it with her. And my sister, people were in the hallway. We went outside, and people were standing in the hallway listening because they thought it was a choir in there singing. And we all sang all the songs we needed to sing to him. And then I told them, my brother, God, now, whether you want to believe this or not, I know people, you know, talks about demons visiting you and whatever, but God told me that he was going to give my brother the grace to visit. And I kept feeling him hover. And I was trying to figure out, you know, if this was real or, you know, was I imagining it? And so I told them about the dream I had, and finally I realized what the dream was. When they found my brother, he was in the bathroom. He had gotten up to go to the bathroom to take a shower. He had been in some pain, and he looked at his wife, and he said, for the first time in my life, I have no pain. He said, I am just as clear as a bell, and I have no pain. He said, this is the most best feeling I have ever felt in my life. And he walked in the bathroom, and she heard this thump. And she went in the bathroom, and he had fallen. And she called his name, and she said, Sherman. And he said, yes. And she was having a whole conversation with him before she realized his eyes was not open. And he had this whole conversation until the EMTs got there. She said, are you hurting? He said, I have no pain. He said, baby, I'm okay. He said, matter of fact, I'm happy. I'm okay. And she just figured he was, you know, talking. But when the EMTs got there, he had no heartbeat and no pulse. And he had been holding this whole conversation with her the whole time, her and her daughter. And so when we got to the funeral and I shared this with them, I said, I was laying on my bed and I was telling Debbie, and I was laying on my bed and I was like, okay, they didn't embalm you. It's been 3 days, just like Jesus. Now quit playing and getting back in your body. Come on, just quit playing. And I started crying. I was like, quit playing. Get back in your body. I know you can. Why won't you? And I heard him call my name like he calls my name. And he said, Evelyn, I am not coming back. And later on that day, I was walking through the house, and the Holy Spirit, I said, God, was that really him? He said, did you notice? He didn't say he couldn't come back. He said he was not coming back. I gave him a choice. He said, and he chose to stay with me. And so when we was in that circle and I shared that with him, all my siblings started saying, oh, my God, you know, you're the only weird one in the family, the prophet, and see, here's all that stuff. I wasn't going to tell anybody because, you know what, I was in the kitchen, and my one sister said she heard him singing this song. You know that song, Fiddler on the Roof? I wish I was a rich man. Nah, 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 nah. Well, he used to tease her when she was a little girl and sing that song and dance around the house like that. And she said she was in the kitchen and she heard him singing that song. And then one would say this and somebody would say this, and then this guy that he was a brother to for years, didn't have a brother. He was standing behind me. He started crying. He said, that's confirmation. He said, because Sherman and I have this favorite saying we say to each other. He said, and I was sitting on my bed and I said, God, you know, I don't have any brothers and you took the only brother I have. And he said, he heard Sherman said, man, it'll be, and I forget the favorite word they use, but he used whatever word that they always use. He said, and I thought something was really weird that I would hear his voice that clear. He said, but now I understand. I said, all I know is the Lord said, if I can go onto the mountain of configuration and show my people Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, can I not let you hear your brother's voice? This is an era that we're moving in now that God is God. And do you realize that each one of us have a choice to grab a hold of love, this present love that doesn't have conditions? It means I don't love you. God's not going to love you just because you do this or you do that. But it's a love that says, I'm going to love you just because. Just because you're who you are. And so this is what we did, and we had a beautiful service. And when we were done, we were able to walk out the room. The room, it just went suddenly quiet. And you didn't feel him anymore. It just got real quiet, and that was it. And when we got home, all my siblings say, why did I say I was going to stay till next Saturday? I could go home because I feel like I'm done. I feel like God's finished. Like this was a finality. And different ones came to me and said, I want to thank you for being bold. Because it's your boldness. Don't ever lose it. So I'm telling you, this present love that God has us in, it is extraordinary. When you ask God, when God asks you to do something, his strength becomes your strength. I am standing here as a firsthand example of that when God says do something, he not only empowers you, he gives you the strength to walk through it, and he gives you the people around you to love you through it. And if that's not God's insurance to let you know of his firsthand love, nothing is. That's God's insurance. So I want to read the words to this last song and then I'm done. Okay, is that all right? It's called Your Love, O Lord. You might know it. If you know it, you can sing it with me. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, and your faithfulness stretches to the sky. Your righteousness is like a mighty mountain. Your justice flows like the ocean tide. And I will lift my voice to worship you, my King. And I will find my strength in the shadow of your wings. For your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, and your faithfulness stretches to the sky. And your righteousness is like a mighty mountain, and your justice flows like the ocean tide. And I will lift my voice to worship you, my King. And I will find my strength in the shadow of your wing. Cause your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, and your faithfulness stretches to the sky. And your righteousness is like a mighty mountain. And your justice flows like the ocean tide. Amen. That's what I have. Be encouraged. Grab a hold to this new era. It's what God has for us. Ask God, what is your part in it? What are you supposed to do? And what are you supposed to let go of? That's why I thought this was so cool last night. Wasn't that cool when we did that theme last night? I don't know who all had the little bat signs on it that Nancy made us wear. Oh, my God, you felt like you weighed 20,000 pounds standing there holding that thing. I was like, it was amazing. That thing you had us holding, when you had on the bad stuff, it felt like the weight of the world was like, boom, on top of you. And when you put the other one on, wow, I'm done. Wow, you felt so light.